咁關於係嗰個 Guideline for Sustainable Hong Kong Harbour presented by Harbour Business Forum， 咁我哋好歡迎即係 Harbour Business Forum 即係幾位代表嚟向大家即係介紹佢嗰個Guidelines。咁我哋今日有Miss Maggie Brook， Kiera Shannon 同埋Mr. Sylvester Wong 嘅，咁歡迎大家。咁我或者將個時間即係交俾你哋去即係同我哋簡介一下。
Sorry, Chairman.
Yes. Declare interest.
Yes. I see my wife on the opposite side of the room. Well, whether it's personal or professional, I better declare it.
Thank you. Yes, Andrew.
Chairman, I also need to declare that I sit on the Executive Committee of the Harbour Business Forum.
Okay, yeah.
After the declarations, good afternoon and thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to brief you on the HBF's guidelines for a sustainable Hong Kong harbour. These have been prepared in response and very much complementary to the newly approved HEC harbour planning guidelines. However, HBF decided to take the opportunity to be somewhat more specific in their approach in several areas and hopefully to make it even more straightforward for planners and developers reading the guidelines in both the private and public sectors to draw up sustainable proposals which will enhance the waterfront for the benefit of all users, the community at large. The HBF guidelines were prepared with specialist input from the HOK planning group, and I would like to ask Sylvester to take you through them now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the HEC for having us to go through this. You know, Steve Townsend and I from the HOK plan group had a chance to sit in with your earlier discussions during the good processes of coming up with the HEC guidelines. And I think it's good to say that we probably benefited both from the process of discussion. So without further ado, let me go through some of the findings that we've come up with. Now, of course, the overall HEC guidelines are an all-encompassing set of documents that does and is responsible for a lot more, I guess, than what we've sort of focused on in the Harbour Business Forum. The Harbour Business Forum is really looking at things from the business perspective, as it were, and we took a similar starting point of the harbor planning principles. And in the end, it really is a source of ideas for this group and for onward work by the HEC and that the HEC guidelines will do. But maybe I'll highlight a couple of key things that we hope are valuable to you. One is that we really went into some tangible specific urban design recommendations, whether they become statutory or they're able to be used as strong recommendations versus just recommendations, that's in your good hands. But again, this is from the perspective of the business community, and we tried to look at everything from really the big picture of the harbor. I know the HEC has the responsibility also to look at specific projects here and there, and so we had the luxury, I guess, of being as broad-brushed as possible so that we could avoid piecemeal planning and design decisions, and again, looking at it from the competitive advantage of Hong Kong from a business standpoint. Now, HOK, the reason I flashed that one really quickly is because we've drawn then upon a lot of global experience and to help the HBF with this mission. And we all know that we're in this global competition to be great places to work and live. Now, I've only highlighted here just a few of the cities in this region, but really we are competing with London and we're competing with New York for the type of talent that it doesn't necessarily come from just outside, but it's our own talent here, Hong Kong-grown talent who can now move anywhere in the world to work and live. And so when we design the harbor, which is really the face and the identity of Hong Kong, it's really designing how to keep such talent here in Hong Kong. And And everybody's facing very similar issues, dizzying growth, everyone's competing for identity, and in the face of all this development, we get a loss of heritage and environment. These are little snapshots from cities around the region. HOK, therefore, has been able to pull in not only our expertise from the team here, but also ideas from around the world, ideas which have, I guess, this is one example, the guidebook for sustainable design that is a heart of many of the projects that we do around the world, covering site planning to building design. And so when we bring it into the Asian context, we have to think about not only environmental sustainability, which is finding value from natural and built heritage, but also economic sustainability, which is, you know, thinking about flexibility over time and how we stay competitive on a project by project, but also on as a city scale. And then finally, social ownership and a sense of sensitivity to not only cultural, as in Hong Kong versus the rest of the world, but even little mini cultures within Hong Kong. One district's culture versus another district's culture. How can we avoid having a harbor that becomes only one culture? And so here we are. What we did over the past, it's been over a year starting this process, and we pulled as much information as we could from interviews and focus groups of individual HBF members. Now, these are businesses, these are developers, these are concerned citizens that have all been part of this. We looked also at case studies, specific projects and issues that have come up, West Kowloon, Kai Tak, Central Waterfront, Wan Chai, Hong Kong, little things that have come up and jogged our memories, I guess. It kind of inspired us. We took comments from general member meetings, we looked at global precedents, and we really looked at the harbor itself and did a lot of on-the-ground surveys and analysis to come up with this. A short but concise set of ideas and tools, really, to help developers and planners and everyone who is going to make a difference around the harbor. Now, this is the dilemma. Design guidelines, and we've been doing design guidelines in many different cities and in different capacities, some become real rules, the statutory rules written in the CCNRs or somehow attached to deeds. Other design guidelines are very recommendation-based, not much teeth. So the dilemma has been, especially here in Hong Kong, how do we suggest great ideas and make sure that they happen? And we found that it's important not only to do to describe what we want to achieve, or even how to achieve it, and this document does both. But it's also about why, about the intent behind each one of these tools, because as we go forward, these guidelines are a living document, and many people will come up with more creative ideas and more innovative ways to approach and design the harbor. And if we can put down our intent, then it's not a do or die document, it's a here's why, and come up with something better, an invitation. So it's great for us to try to summarize these into simple categories of these tools. And we found that after all the brainstorming sessions, it boiled down to 3 points. One category is about access, pure and simple, how to get people to the harbor. And it's really about people to the harbor. And so we've all further broken that down into three very simple things. One is enabling access to the water. Two is, once you get to the water, who is it for and what do you do there? And three, how do you have a really cohesive, connected promenade? The tools in there I'll go over in a little bit. The second category is about business. As the Harbor Business Forum, we're very interested in economic opportunity. So number one, we found tools that help users and the harbor leverage off of each other. The best value for the least input. Number two is, how do you then build a brand around the harbor? I mean, the harbor is a selling point globally. And then finally, three is, with all these economic activities, how do you diversify them so that not every area of the harbor is the same? And finally, three, the third category of tools includes, one, how do you celebrate heritage. And heritage is not just about environmental heritage or natural heritage or cultural heritage. It's a mix of all those that create identities, a sort of a sense of what was, why is Wanchai different from Jimsachai, and why is it different from Pakal? And then two is recognition that the environment is very negatively impacted by infrastructure right now. How do we take infrastructure second, not first? And three is how do you bring the sense of harbor deep into the neighborhoods? And by sense, it's air, it's sounds, it's smells, it's everything that reminds you that this is a harbor city. Now, I don't want to, I can easily go into a lot of detail here. And the each of your handouts has the full text of the guidelines. And I invite you after this to look through and find some of them. So what I'm going to do is just very quickly glance over these. How much time do we have? Mr. Chairman, can I ask how much time we have so I can tailor this?
Well, to allow for some discussion, so I think can you do the remaining part in 7 minutes?
7 minutes, okay. That's fine. Then I'll be very quick with them. again, enabling access to the waterfront. You see the little sketches on the left illustrate these ideas. Some of the key ideas, I mean, we all hear about choice, making sure you have ground connections. So I'm not going to go over the obvious things that we've all seen and are in the HEC guidelines already. What I want to point out are the things that a lot of people forget about. Cars on the waterfront. Now, a lot of people say, oh, please, no cars on the waterfront. But more importantly, what we found in our global practice is that it is important to bring access. I mean, you've got kids, you've got families with elderly and so forth, and it's not necessarily about getting cars off, but it's getting fast cars off. It's about making the waterfront a slow and safe environment that still is very easy to get to. And so inside the detail here, you'll find some specific recommendations about things like minimizing the radius, about minimizing the number of lanes. They're very technical kind of recommendations, but you'll find that as we have moved in the past 10 years or 20 years of Hong Kong development, that many of those engineering-led decisions have kind of ballooned in some way. And that's what I want to point out. It also points out that the big question of how often do you break up the harborfront? How often do you bring access? We found in international practice it's not really a matter of the number of meters or some special formula like that, that it comes down to a sense of comfort. If you come down to the waterfront, and in Hong Kong it's going to be different from San Francisco, because San Francisco people are comfortable walking for 10 minutes and then coming out. But in Hong Kong, our sense of pace and life is accelerated. 2 or 3 minutes, and we're impatient. and so that kind of thinking about how to govern access and frequency of use then becomes a very Hong Kong issue, and that's why the 2 or 3 minute threshold becomes important. And so I'll just summarize this page, really. Is access intuitive? So you don't need a map? And is there a convenience barrier? Do people think, oh, I'm too busy because there's just not enough ways to get there? Or I can't park my car to get my kids or my grandma who can't walk the far distances. You want to take those convenience barriers out. Again, I won't go through all the details here, but the gist of number two is it comfortable to be there once I've gotten there? Will users think, well, do I need to be somewhere else where I can be near my pay phones or near a bathroom or something like that? Or will they think, oh, well, I don't know, but I know the harbor front is full of everything, so I can rest assured I'm going to find something to do there. And then finally, the connected promenade on A3 is, you know, some very easy tools to avoid a blank promenade and guarantee, erase doubt from people's minds that they can walk along the promenade and still be able to leave or find something that meets their needs along every inch of the way. Leveraging waterfront in the business categories is really about, well, waterfront uses should be for uses I mean, the waterfront should be for uses that need the waterfront. And so are users making the most, and are they allowing the public to do the same? Building the harbor brand is about finding value and building that being on the waterfront is not just a great thing for its users, but it helps. Here are the questions. Is the harbor deriving value from the user as much as the user is deriving value from the harbor? Are roadways positioned as addresses instead of merely infrastructure? And this is very important. It means that there's a zone right at the water's edge, which is not just about accessing, but the street right behind every parcel on the waterfront carries a special feeling. And we should have things called the Harbor Drive, but we don't really. We have something called Harbor Road, but has anything but, you know, has exposure to the harbor. So the names of these streets, the character of them, should evoke that feeling that right now Hong Kong doesn't have a lot of. No. And then do projects, you'll find in the details, do projects build a harbor reputation by being green projects, being the most progressive projects in Hong Kong? And finally, diversifying and synergizing is about understanding that every district is different. And that Kai Tak, you know, maybe certain things don't really belong there, and some really belong in other parts of the harbor, and it depends on what the old historic character of that district used to be. Are the districts complementing themselves, and are uses are we putting uses together that make sense together, so that we don't need to distribute too much infrastructure and oversupply small infrastructure areas, for example, instead of putting all the infrastructure in one place and reducing the amount of non-public use needs. Finally, the environmental side is very dear to our heart, that geographic heritage should play a very important role in helping figure out what development should be like. Not just environmental heritage, because there's a historic building there, but we've done many studies between Causeway Bay and Central, for example, and we like to show and highlight that Central has always had a very formal character, a sense of being the formal facade of Hong Kong. And Causeway Bay has always had this very organic growth to it. So those very simple district identities form a geographic heritage that's different as you go down the harbor. And so using that to guide, I think the character of development is very important. And then building on that, that's looking at the past. Looking at the future then, is that everything on the harbor, you look at the titles on the right, encouraging green development in the harbor, protecting harbor from runoff impacts, is about then protecting the future heritage. It's are we nurturing tomorrow's? Are we creating tomorrow's heritage? Reducing infrastructure is a big one, of course. Can it be possible to look at congestion not as a negative thing, but on the waterfront actually something that could help make it safer? It lets people who are passing through decide not to go along the waterfront, which is probably a good thing. And then will utilities, roads, and you know, lowest cost design take a back seat to great quality? And finally, breathability. It's a big buzzword these days, ventilation and so forth, but I want you to think that it's not just about good air. Good air is very important. It's one of the biggest concerns, of course, facing Hong Kong today. But I think if you close your eyes and you walk down Java Road, or you walk down any road, and you can hear and you can smell and you can sense with your eyes closed a sense of opening or claustrophobia. And I think in Hong Kong it's very important, some of the tools will help you with this in the document, to remember that we are a harborside city. Let's not make it forgettable, even two blocks in, that we're on the edge of this great asset. Very key points here. The role and heritage of districts should be thought of harbor-wide, and not just the waterfront, but the whole districts themselves. Think about lateral connections, not just to the water. When you're looking at the edge, is it intuitive? Do you have a 2 to 3 minute threshold? Do you have visual and sensory connections, not just, you know, physical? And it's not the same objective across the whole harbor. Every piece should have a slightly different objective. Roadways, look at slow engine. We've heard of slow food and slow life movements. Slow engineering is sort of what we're after. Multiple choice for people. There's value in that waterfront address. I'm on number 8 Waterfront Drive. And consolidating infrastructure. And finally, the uses on the waterfront are real catalysts. They're not just another development that has an impact one-on-one with the harbor, but every single one of the projects that we as a community and you as the Harbor Enhancement Committee are looking at represent the best of Hong Kong. And people will look at it. And so they should be active on the ground use. They should be low massing along the edge of the harbor. Let people self-program as much as possible. And finally, that the buildings and the projects really are like sentries or guardians of this great asset. And I think that sort of sums it up for now. I'm happy to answer some detailed questions. And of course, you know, as you move forward, we'll be hopefully you'll be able to see a lot of other ideas come in and feed into your process, because we're not the only ones. There you go. Other ideas. It does take a while, doesn't it? Thanks very much.
Okay.
I'll leave you with these guys.
Thank you, Maggie, and your team. Sylvester, for a very informative and passionate presentation. So, do members have any questions or comments?
Chairman, if I may start. I mean, clearly an immense amount of work has gone into this study, and we would be foolish not to take advantage of it. It was presented as an initiative by business, but business may have paid the bill, but I don't get the sense that this is really business driven. I mean, many of the aspirations that we see in the text, many of the attempts, if you like, to turn the guidelines into practical applications, I mean, ring very well with me. Other members may want to comment, but I don't see the big hand of business, if I may put it that way, trying to influence anything here. I literally see them paying the bill, which is tremendous, and taking the initiative. But much of this is of immense use, I think, to us going forward. I think my only concern, and it's a practical one, is I would be concerned to see two sets of guidelines, if you like, moving forward. Potential confusion for the market could send confusing messages to people who have ideas of doing projects on the waterfront. I mean, if over time we could develop a partnership with HBF, and indeed, if necessary, I'm not sure whether you want to co-brand the guidelines, but at least make it a joint initiative, a co-initiative, perhaps is the word, and obviously there may be others who want to join the initiative as well, but I would like to see us, you know, in terms of the future, working together on this initiative, rather than separate initiatives moving forward and two sets of guidelines evolving over time, somehow bringing it together. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Any other comments and questions? Yes, Andrew?
Comment rather than a question. The comment is, both the planning principles and the guidelines have been intended to be dynamic, in that there'll be a learning sort of document and a learning approach. At the last HEC meeting, there was some mention as to how the guidelines would be taken forwards and used, and some consideration of what would be, whether they would be wholesale or in part, lifted and placed into the urban design guidelines. I mean, at the moment, this is the harbour planning principles and guidelines are a document promulgated, prepared by and promulgated by the HEC. And moving forwards, various government departments could adopt in whole or in part, can move various things into statutory, etc. And I think it's, you know, we've had our effort. HBF has now come in with another effort to package these things. The sum of these is greater than the separate. But I think moving forwards, it's certainly sort of a good view on how to and what is going to be ported into the urban design guidelines needs to be done. It's not something we can resolve today, but I think it would be good for us to say, you know, don't throw out any of these babies with the bathwater. Moving forward, let's see how we can get the best possible and most robust set of guidelines possible. I do agree with Nick Brooks' comment that having multiple sets of anything is always a confusion. So creating one set is good, and I think that's in a sense why the comment about moving these things into the urban design guidelines and having then that set within then the standards that are looked at, rather than having urban design guidelines over here and then covering the aspects of harbourfront and then the harbour planning guidelines over somewhere else, is part of the discussion that I think we're moving to. So I think what we're moving to is one robust set of guidelines that ultimately addresses all of the key aspects. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes. Do you want to respond, Kiara? I'll see whether our member have comments first, and then you will respond in one go. Yes.
Yes. One other comment which I meant to make is that this is branded guidelines, if you like. I see it as a mixture of aspirations and practical applications, if you like. It's just a comment, a view, it's something for HBF, if you like, to take on board. You might want to think how you actually brand this particular initiative, because I don't see these as guidelines as such. I think, as I say, it's a mixture of aspirations plus practical applications, but a very valuable contribution nevertheless.
Yes.
But it's different in form and content to the guidelines that, for instance, Andrew has been working on.
Yes, thank you. Any question from the other side of the table? No. Right. So, if Raymond.
I have two questions, maybe three questions, and two observations. Questions first. I can be explained a little bit more on the page B2, point number B2.8. I don't really understand what does encourage users development that illustrate, exemplify, and educate Hong Kong's leadership in responsible land use, prioritize use of HK beam and other measures, etc., etc. So that probably I can be explained a little bit more on this. And also on E3, 3.2, perhaps I also need to be enlightened on the why it is considered that to concentrate building of similar heights in cluster is beneficial to the environmental asset. And also, I don't quite really follow the last point, E3.6, particularly the last part of the guideline. So there are the three questions. Two observations. I would see that some of the guidelines actually probably misplaced. For instance, to protect views to the ridge line, and some of other guidelines in this category should be more related to key environmental assets rather than business and economic opportunity. I don't know how your consultant would respond to this. Of course, we can break down the guidelines into many small points, just like what we have at, in this submission. But on the other hand, I would say that in the planning and design process, we tend to consider many of the urban design elements more holistically. So rather than having a very long list of detailed guidelines, probably that they can be grouped into a more holistic manner, so to enable urban design planners to understand easily, rather than in the design process to go into every single aspect, but to handle them rather in a rather piecemeal manner. So there are two observations for me.
Thank you, Raymond. Okay, so can the proponent answer in one go, right?
Sure. Okay. I'll take Raymond's detailed questions about the setup. Point by point, I guess in B, the guideline about 2.8. That's right. Encourage uses and development that illustrate, exemplify, and educate Hong Kong's leadership in responsible land use. Prioritize use of HK Beam and other measures of sustainable planning and design. I think mostly building the harbor brand is about letting every development that's on the harbor exemplify what Hong Kong's broader missions are. And so if much of Hong Kong's development focus is going to move toward responsible development and ways to help with protecting the resources, including the harbor, that things like Hong Kong Beam or similar environmental objectives around the world could be used to help guide developments. And so that's why the title, Encourage Uses and Developments That Embody Sustainable Design, is about not just the technical ability to save energy, but what does it mean as a direction for Hong Kong, and hence its brand. The next one is in environment. Let me just check that one here. Two items here. One is why is concentrating buildings of similar heights together an ability as something that's relevant here, and then E3.6 reinforcing the harbor facade character as frames, and both of these point to an idea that visual access on E3.2, it's about visual access to the hills when you're on the waterfront or when you're across from the waterfront. So when sometimes you might get view corridors. But a view corridor and a view window are different things. And we've found that as we've seen across cities around the world, that some places have corridors, but it just makes you realize that there's not a lot of connection. But whereas if you have a large window and you're able to, it's okay to have very high buildings, but if you have them in certain places, they do two things. They intuitively tell a person on the street where the centers of activity are, and it also then provides much more breathing space. On E3.6, what it means is it's not just enough to make space available so that people on the inside feel like they're part of the harbor, but when you do have that space, there's an opportunity to increase perimeter, just like a retail planner or retail designer knows that your greatest rent is that perimeter on the ground floor, and because it's associated with the atrium space. The same kind of principle applies here, that if you have places where the harbor is coming in, you have a chance to almost piggyback on that value. And even three blocks in, if there's a large connection to the harbor front, you can make uses three blocks in feel like a part of that harbor experience. sorry, I'm a little long-winded here. Ridgeline, then. Ridgeline, we kept with the brand. Sorry, I must be spitting. The brand of the harbor, because the ridgeline and the postcard view that we have today is very much a part of what people imagine for Hong Kong. And so, like any branding exercise, the great iconic image is very vital to it. And if we were to lose too much of that ridgeline to development, then it would negatively affect that postcard. So that's why we've kind of broken these things out into so many discrete chunks, partly so that they can be, not everything applies to every project. Some are for developers and others are for the government as they go through the planning process, and a lot of them are also for the public, because it's a document that, if enough public are exposed to it, may be inspiring enough to say, well, I can change something, I have a better idea. And so a living document, we often find, is more open to constant improvement if you give it to people in chunks that they feel are tackleable. So, thank you.
Can I just
finish
off? We really started to prepare these guidelines to try, I agree, some of them are guidelines in our view, some of them are aspirations, in that the Harbour Business Forum is made up of over 120 businesses. Many of those people have quite strong views on how they think the harbour should be developed, should be designed. And so we did do a great deal of consultation amongst our members and amongst other people who have an interest. And so we decided we would put in things that we would like to see happen as much as things that probably could happen now or in the very near future. As Sylvester says, this is a living document. We hope it's got a long-term value as well as a shorter-term value. And I do agree it's not all to do with business, but then the harbour isn't to do with business. We happen to be a business forum. We happen to be able to have the good fortune to be able to prepare something like this and to take the time to do it. But this is a document for us all and for the community and not just for business, although as with the branding and our competitiveness, we have tried to bring a certain business perspective to things as well, and hopefully not suggested things that really are not practical in the long run for the community or would not be something that would appeal to a much broader range of people than just the business community. And if anybody would like us to work with other people on this, this is put out to the public just for that. We would be happy to work with anybody who would be happy to have us work with them to produce a single set of guidelines which will be more useful, more beneficial, and bring about more results for Hong Kong in general.
Thank you. Yes, Kiara?
And just finally, they are sustainable guidelines. And we thought about the definition of sustainable development, the Brundtland definition, meeting the needs of the present generations without compromising the needs of future generations. Most people get very confused by that definition. So we just did it very simply. We took all of HOK's expertise and the guidelines and best practice around the world, and we divided it into three: people, access or social, economic, business and environment. So Raymond? He wondered if maybe that point should have been in the environment or the other point should have been in the economic section. Well, we found there was quite a lot of overlap because some of the points were relevant in the environment section, some of the points were relevant in the economic section. But we did find that once we got these three pillars and we divided the sort of the best practice into that, we suddenly got quite a good clarity. And we hope that this is another contribution to the guidelines, a very simple way of looking at sustainable development, but in connection to the harbour.
Thank you. So, I have a very simple question for the proponents. Yes. What do you want the HEC to do? with this parallel set of guidelines appearing with noting that the harbor plan, the HEC have a set of harbor planning guidelines. Yeah.
Ideally, we would like to see as many as possible of our thoughts incorporated into a more central document. So there was one central document, and we'd be happy to work on that with the HEC.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's... So, I'll go back to Chinese. I'll speak in Cantonese. Right? 我想我哋喺依度就呢個會議就唔係我哋去 refine 嗰個即係 guideline 嘅啦嚇，咁其實都即係好多謝 Harvard Business Forum 佢即係有即係依個其實佢哋嗰個即係effort 係擺咗好多，同埋即係依啲資料咧都係相當即係有用嚇，同埋有價值，咁我同意阿 Nick 講咧，就係話，即係而家即係 HEC 有一個 guideline， 咁另外又有一個 guideline， 當然即係會係會混亂啦嚇。咁、啊、咁我相信即係我自己咁睇嘅，就算你依兩個 guideline 結合咗之後咧，你都難保有第三個 guideline 出現嘅喺呢個市面上。咁我哋即係其實成個概念關於嗰個 living document 啦，咁都係話今時今日我哋 HEC 做咗個 guideline 亦都係城規會即係同意咗 ，HEC 同意咗，咁 HEC 個 guideline 我哋都理解啦，就係話即係 HBF 都俾到都有曾經參與同埋俾咗意見嘅，咁即係 as of 今日咧，即係呢個 HEC guideline 咧都係一個即係 HEC 認為一個相當完整。嘅一套 guideline 啦，咁我哋多謝即係 HBF 其實都有依一套 guideline， 我相信即係呢個係我哋唯有係即係 target 即係入口嗰個工作啦嚇，咁即係當 HEC 繼續存在嘅時候，咁即係亦都會即係繼續去即係 refine 嗰個即係 guideline 嘅時候咧，咁我相信即係話即係呢一今日即係見到依個資料咧，都一定係會即係見到嘅資料同埋見到嘅人啦嚇。都應該係會即係會集結一齊咧，就係、是、去即係繼續為嗰個海港即係工作嚇。咁、啊、即係喺呢一個時段，我諗即係以上就係即係我認為嘅一個即係向前看嘅一個做法。咁即係委員有冇同意啊？嗬？Okay. Has the translation finished?
I mean, Chairman, obviously none of us are quite sure about the future, but assuming, for instance, that a committee of a similar nature to the one that Andrew currently chairs was to continue or was to be empowered by HEC, then it would be sensible for them, just as we passed on one task already today to the future HEC, maybe we pass this task on to the appropriate subcommittee to review this document.
Yes. Okay, agree. That's what I intend. Okay, so I think thank you for your presence and very informative presentation. Thank you very much.